On Tuesday, March 24th, Montreal's police service, the SPVM, released their new plan to counter racism and discrimination. They announced that elements of this plan have been in effect since 2019, though did not specify which ones.
The vision that we have is to be intolerant to any discrimination, any profiling inside the police and outside the police.
That was the chief of the SPVM, Fadi Dahir. He says he wants to see a prejudice-free police force by 2030.
Just building the bridge between the police and the community on an everyday basis. So the vision is, I'm hoping that in 2030, the police department of the SPVM is going to be as close as possible to all the communities without any discrimination, any racial issues.
The main points of the plan have to do with improving interpersonal police interactions with civilians through both training and monitoring and a more established community presence. They want to provide new field coaching and tools for officers, create monitoring systems to track and analyze problematic police interactions, including body cameras. They want to develop tools for managers to identify and handle discriminatory or high-risk behavior, establish measurable indicators, timelines, and reporting mechanisms to track progress, expand community dialogue initiatives, especially with marginalized groups, revise internal police policies and guides on discriminatory behavior handling, and set up ongoing evaluation and feedback systems to adjust these practices over time.
The whole area of the SPVM has been changing slowly. But I want to be careful. This is not a change of culture. Because the police culture is a great culture. What we have to do is to adapt the culture. So for me, it's important to specify, because when you talk about change, it's like everything that we did before was bad. No. We have a great, great heritage. We have a great history in the SPVM. We have to keep that side of it. But obviously, and of course, the world changed. We have to also adapt.
But some are skeptical about the report's vagueness and unoptimistic about the SPVM's failure to take recommendations from previous reports. Massimiliano Malone is a professor at the School of Criminology at the University of Montreal. He has done research for multiple reports to police services across Quebec regarding discrimination. Malone was one of the definite researchers hired by the SPVM to do a report on street checks and racial profiling, which was published in 2019. This report showed that Black people and Indigenous people were drastically disproportionately targeted by police in street checks, showing that these groups were 4 to 5 times more likely to be stopped than white people, despite making up a fraction of the city's population. Massimiliano was with me on the program here. Massimiliano, when it comes to these reports, you've co-authored a major one in 2019 and another as recently as 2023, which showed very little change. How have the police responded to these reports that you've done research for? What recommendations did they take and what has been ignored?
What was accepted was the fact that they created a new policy about street checks. It's not a new, like the first one, the first policy about street checks. They didn't have any policy about it. And it was one of the recommendations of the first report. So they made one. Now they are going to change it because it doesn't have any impact on discriminations. And doesn't seem to have, at least because the numbers are always showing that we are the same level of discrimination that we were in 2017. So I'm not sure that something is going on about changes here. But what they didn't, except for the moratorium, one thing that I do, which was a promise, it was for the first report, we made two indicators to measure racial profiling. And one of the recommendation and one of the, it was even the main mandate of the report was to create indicators in as such that the police organization could be able to publish every year the result of these indicators to see if things were changing. And they didn't do that. They never, never recalculated the indicators. We did that ourselves in because we did a second report with them. So we have the indicators until 2021. And then in 2022, they didn't publish any information about that. They didn't do it in 2023 and 2024, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, we have the data from the Ministère de la Sécurité Publique that has been released. So we can recalculate until 2024 and what we see that nothing has changed. So, but this is a promise that wasn't, a recommendation that wasn't followed. And there is others, but you know, I cannot make the list. One that is, I think, important, but nobody talks about it, is the fact that we wanted to use these indicators as a way to evaluate police programs or police new tools or new strategies or whatever, or new practice, in a way to identify if a practice, because a new program could be like efficient in to fight a type of infractions. I don't know. It could have an impact on criminality that is positive, but it could be also discriminative, have a very negative impact on discriminations. And so we wanted them to incorporate in every of their evaluation the impact on racial discrimination, but they never, never talked about it, I think.
And before we get into this new anti-discrimination plan, give us some context. The chief of the SPVM just said on Tuesday that they have a great history and heritage at the SPVM. But tell me what you've seen in your research. What is the context for this new report on discrimination? You mentioned there are indicators in Montreal of discrimination. What are those indicators?
The idea is very easy. You look at the police practice and you look at how it affects different communities. If you look at racial discrimination, you're looking at racialized community groups. And you look, for example, if you look at street checks, you take all the people that have been checked by police officers during a year. And you see that some, I don't know, white people, for example, are checked for 40% of all street checks are made on white people, 25 on black people. These are the numbers that were between 2014 and 2017. And then you compare with the population. So you look at, 25% of the person that have been checked, street checked by the police of Montreal are black, but how many citizens of Montreal are black? And you see that there is a discrepancy, there is a disparity, because there is less than 10%, like 9.5%, that was the numbers at the time, of Montreal citizens that are black, so that I self-identify as blacks. And there is a disproportion, and this is the first indicator. Okay, this is the first one. This is someone that is used in every research that when you have access to police data, you do this kind of research because it's the basic one. You know, it's not perfect. There's a lot of limitation, but it's a basic one. And when you look at other cities that have given access to their to the police data to researchers, they all find disproportion with particularly with black people and indigenous people. So this is the first indicator. What we saw is that if you're a black person in Montreal, you're four point two more times more risk to be targeted by your street checks than if you're a white per citizen. So a white resident. So this is the first one. We made another one was to compare the population of the street, the people, the population that is being targeted by a street check to the population that is arrested by the police to see if, you know, the police numbers on crime could justify or explain why they are targeting more some groups than others. And what we saw in our own research is that these indicators doesn't explain the disparities that were found in the first indicator. So the explanation that, yeah, we are checking more black people, but they are doing more crime, if I have to simplify it, is not empirically valid when you look at the police data.
Now let's talk about the plan itself. The main points in the document are related to police interactions with civilians. So updating police stop policy. And there's a lot of language about establishing more community presence. But in my reading of the report, I didn't find too many clearly concrete actionable items. There were no significant reforms. A lot of language about creating goals and meeting goals, creating timelines, but not a lot of clear goal posts. This might be oversight on my part, so I want to ask you, did you find anything in the report that stood out as actionable or concrete?
Well, first the plan is written in a very managerialistic words or way of writing that, you know, there is a lot of words, but you don't really know what does it mean in concrete actions, okay? But I will say that two things. First, I think the action that they are targeting in the plan shows how bad they understand the problem. Mainly that they don't understand what is a systemic problem. Because discrimination are a systemic problem and they don't understand it. For example, not all the action they are taking, but a lot of actions are targeting individual police officers. So you need better managerial oversight to identify possible problematic police behavior. So you can, and they also want to have a better monitoring of complaints about racial profiling, about racial discrimination, to be able to identify easily in a better way problematic officers. Okay, this is, nobody is against that. Okay, well, but what it means? It means that you believe that the problem of racial profiling is an individual problem of bad apples, you know, some bad officer. We need to identify them. We need to train them. We need to have a better oversight, a better supervision of them, to help them not be racist, you know. And this is a complete misunderstanding of what we saw in the data. You cannot, you know, when you look at practices like street checks or traffic stop, for example, we are talking about massive quantity of police actions. You know, for example, in the last report, we it's more than 200,000 police intervention that we analyzed. And you cannot explain the fact that when you look at 200,000 different in police intervention, and that black people are four more times targeted than white people, this is a problem of some bad apples. This is a result of the bad behavior of some bad apples. It's not possible. Even if you have some really racist police officers in your organization, by themselves, they cannot have such an impact on your data, on your practices. So they are targeting stuff that it's okay to target it, but it doesn't resolve whatever the systemic dimension of racial profiling, of racial discrimination in police practices. So is it a real bad understanding of the problem, or is it a way to avoid systemic changes? Because if you have a systemic problem, you need systemic changes. Systemic changes means to change really the way you do the things you do. Because, and so this is why we ask for a moratorium, because we said, we looked at the data and we said, okay, the quantitative data shows us that nothing is changing, despite all the good intentions of the police direction, of the police executives, and of the mayor, of everybody in charge. Despite the good intention, nobody is changing. When you talk to the police officers, they don't understand why they are accused of racism. They don't understand. It's like for them, it's completely frivolous. It's something that is so not absolutely not true in their view that they don't understand it. So, and you see that there is nothing that is going to change. Okay, so I think that I'm not sure that better interaction. You know, we have to understand each other to avoid being racist. This is such an uninformed a way of understanding prejudice, how it works, how our cognition works, how bias works, and how we can fight even prejudice. It doesn't work just by, this is a contact hypothesis in the prejudice studies, you know, like you put two groups that doesn't like each other together and they will know each other better, and then the prejudice will be less important. This is really nice. It doesn't work a lot because it needs not to be like a few meetings you made in 1 year, like, okay, I meet you once every 6 months and we have a little discussion, and it doesn't work. We know that. So they don't understand how cognition works, prejudice work. They don't understand what a systemic problem is. And the plan is absolutely not answering that. So I'm really pessimistic about what it will have as impact on the discrimination that a significant part of the Montreal population is living right now.
So it's a big question, but if it is, in your language, this deep-rooted systemic issue, how then do we address it? How do we begin to detangle it? And speak for Montreal.
I think that one of the main, I will say two things. One that is only good for me because it's about being transparent with police data. So to continue, which they have stopped to do that, but they should, in the Montreal city, should continue to force police, the Montreal police, to open the data to external researchers. So it's very important because if we don't do that, they can say whatever they want, and we will never know if it's doing something really or not. But the main one is to limit the discretion of the police officers. One of the problems of discriminatory actions of discriminations is that the prejudice become has more influence on actions when there is a lot of discretion for the actors, and so you need to reduce the capacity of police officers to intervene whenever they want. That's why we ask for a moratorium on street checks. We said, okay, this is not necessary for public safety. We looked at the data on the literature, the studies that were tried to evaluate the impact of proactive policing on crime, on public safety, and it's far from being conclusive. It's like there is not real evidence that these kind of practices are making the public more safer. More safe, sorry, and so you have to reduce the possibilities for. It doesn't mean police officers do not need to intervene anymore. There is a lot of situations where they have all the legitimacy to intervene. But in the situation where there is a lot of discretion, there is a lot of ambiguity, is it really necessary to go there? Don't go. You know, And I know that the police officers, in their professional ethos and professional culture, they believe that the police officer that decide not to go is a lazy one, is a bad police officer. Good police officers is an active, proactive officer. And so you need to fight this. It's very difficult because you go against professional culture, you know. So if you do that for chief of police, like for Fadi Daguerre does do that, he will the most of his employees will be angry and upset about the decision. So it's not an easy one to implement. I think it's one of the reasons they don't do the moratorium. It's because it's too difficult to have the police officer act to accept it. But you have to do that. You have to limit police discretion. You have to limit police discretion because police, and you can see it in the United States, it's a huge power. And when you don't limit the power of police, you have some organization like ICE that doesn't respect laws anymore.
Massa Milano, thank you for taking some time to talk with CJLO 1690 AM.
Thanks.
Professor of Criminology Massa Milano Malone and frequent contributor to SPVM reports on discrimination there, talking about the new discrimination plan from the SPVM on CJLO 1690 AM News. I'm Adam Innes with the Local Journalism Initiative.